time in New York City. It's The Ramble with me, and I'm Alex Bennett. Ladies and gentlemen, we go down to Florida. Look at that. The leaves in back of you are in the waving in the wind, and you're getting sun outside, and you're basically you're bragging, and I'm inside here, you know, with my fake background.
Yeah, well, it is a nice background here.
Well, it's
so very temperate in Florida.
Yeah, well, it's really nice. What is that, a light you've got in back of you, that big post there?
A little New Orleans light, that one?
Yeah.
We got trees, we got birds, we got squirrels, we got the whole...
You got the whole thing, a whole kitten squirrely caboodle.
Yeah, caboodle.
I decided the other day I really like squirrels.
Oh, me too, man. I love them. They have personalities, and they're prudent and joyful at the same time.
They're prudent and joyful. I like that. I guess it was because I told the story that I had a girlfriend. You remember her. The one I was with most of the time that we knew each other.
Yes.
You know, it was on and off, on and off, on and off. I never could figure out if I ever cheated on her because I had sex all the time when she left me.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that was cheating when we got back together.
See, how do you know? Where's the line?
Yeah. But I didn't waste any time. I'll have to admit that, you know. But anyway, you remember me. I was a horn dog.
You were active. You were an active sexual creature.
Yeah, and I think you were too, actually.
I went through a little bit of especially after I got the boob done.
I wanted to share them. Is that a cause for being promiscuous, having your breast done?
You know what? I wondered about that. And then O.J. Simpson brought up the same thing. He said when Nicole Brown, he called it the titty doctor, when Nicole Brown Simpson had her breasts done, it was like party free for all. And I think there is a little bit of that, like, you know, I'm going to show these suckers off.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
What I was going to say is I used to, when she'd go away or something like that, to be in Greece for 6 weeks or something, I would go over there every day, feed the cat.
Very sweet.
And then I would stay with the cat, and I would catch... I used to catch a nap in the afternoon because I had to get up so early. And I would catch my nap there. With the cat. And the cat had a great friend, and the friend was a squirrel.
Really?
And they would play with each other. The cat would go out into the backyard. The squirrel would jump up a tree. The cat would look at him and try and chase him around and maybe climb up the tree. But they would get this close to each other and nothing would happen. The cat didn't try to kill the squirrel or anything else. They were just playing with each other.
Yeah, I think it's like human beings. You know, we meet individuals. We don't know what role they're going to play in our lives. Just like they meet creatures and go, you know, I kind of like him, even though he's not a typical type for my friend.
I'll tell you one of the greatest cat stories ever. And you know you can't beat this as a pet story. Okay. So I go over there and I take care of the cat every day, feed the cat. Mm-hmm. And stick around for a while, and you know, and then I go into the bedroom, close the door, right, and start getting a nap.
Yeah.
Well, I'm starting a nap, and all of a sudden, her clock radio goes off,
which is, you know, disruptive to the REM activity you're inducing. Yeah.
So I turn around and I go, how did this turn itself on? So I turn it off, and I go back to sleep, and I'm lying there, and all of a sudden the radio goes off again.
It's that cat being...
I then turn around, and the cat is there.
And he's resetting it.
I turn off the radio, and the cat goes over to the radio, sits on it, moves his back paw around a little bit, hits a button, and the radio goes on.
Now, that's a pretty smart cat.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he kept me from sleeping all that day.
Did you consider pulling the radio out of the wall, out of the power source?
Well, I finally did something like that. And then I would put the cat outside and close the door again, and the cat knew how to get in. The cat would literally go up to the doorknob and turn it.
You're kidding.
To get in, to then sit on the radio and turn it on.
It must have been a cat with a long reach and a plan.
Well, I mean, you take a Siamese cat, they're very, very long in length. Okay.
Yeah.
And he could get up to the knob and just turned it and then open. I mean, I closed the door. I closed it.
He's a bright one. He's a smarty
cat. One of the brightest cats I've ever known. Yeah.
Yeah.
Every year I would go over there for Thanksgiving, and I would drop a little turkey on the floor for the cat.
And they'd say, don't
feed the cat. And I said, you know, when you make a turkey and the cat is in the house and you're not going to feed him any of that turkey, that's cruel.
It is. You want to make him part of the party.
Well, also, it's that they love turkey. They love chicken.
Well, they love birds.
Cats are crazy about any bird food of type.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
So I would just drop a little bit on the floor. Oh, whoops. Oh, I accidentally dropped some on the floor. And they would yell at me, don't do that to the cat. Don't do that to the cat. Well, every year when I go over there for Thanksgiving, where did the cat immediately stand?
Beeline.
Right next to me. So year after year, he would remember who fed him turkey.
Yeah, it's those primal connections, man. They stay with you.
Well, I didn't think cats had memories that long. You know, I figured they had a attention span of about a second and a half, you know.
Yeah.
No, very smart. Very smart.
Because I had one cat. It was one of those with papers and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was $600 for a kitten. And I bought it because I had been over at my friend's house the night before, the ones that owned it. And I thought, that little kitten is not going to get out of this place alive because people were just stepping on it and just bumping it and closing doors on it and everything. So they called me and asked, you know, would I like to take him? And I did, and I would hold him like a baby and in the mornings, and we would just look out at the beautiful San Francisco view. And so that one I really felt a kinship with.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know something? I mean, I have a feeling about it. I love cats probably over dogs. And there's a reason for it. I don't like people who kiss my ass. You know that. You know?
Oh, yeah.
I never like that.
They're suspect.
Yeah, they're suspect. So if you just try to kiss my ass, I don't trust you. Well,
yeah.
I've never known a cat that ever kissed my ass.
Oh, cats don't kiss ass. That's part of their credo.
Yeah.
We do not kiss ass.
Yeah. Oh, I love you, I love you, I love you. You just fed me? Fuck you.
Yeah.
You know, that's a cat's attitude. And I like that attitude where dogs are, oh, I love you, I love you, you're my master, I love you, and I will love you. Beat me, hit me, I don't care, I love you.
Right? Yeah, dogs are a little too agreeable.
They
non-discerning.
Yeah, rather than earn your respect, the dog begs it.
Yeah.
So.
I know I'm
going to get a lot of nasty tweets here and whatever about my feeling about dogs, but screw
well,
you.
Well, I've never been. My sister is crazy about her dogs. Crazy. I mean, she thinks of them as people. And I just have never felt that way about, I can't get attached to something that shits on the floor of the house.
Yeah, you know, or that you have to take, more worse than that, you have to take them out to shit, okay? You have to take them out and walk them on a leash, and then they poop, and then you got to pick it up and put it in a bag.
See, you know. That's where I draw the line. I do not interact with feces.
Yeah.
No way.
And somebody once said if any alien came to Earth and saw this going on, they would immediately think that the dog was the master.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, you do all that for a dog. A cat goes in a box. You know, I had one. Yeah. I had one that actually get up and pee on the toilet in the toilet.
You had one that you trained?
No. I'm going to sleep one night and I hear this tinkling going on in the bathroom and I look over to see if my wife is there. And I can't remember which wife it was at the time. And she's still in bed. And I'm going, well, what's tinkling in the bathroom? And I ran into the bathroom and nothing. So next night I'm sleeping. All of a sudden I hear tinkling in the bathroom. And I run into the bathroom and I notice that there are two little wet paw prints on the toilet seat.
Dead giveaway.
And I went, couldn't be. Couldn't be. The next night I hear the tinkling. I go in. The cat is actually on the toilet, peeing in the toilet.
You caught him mid-tink.
Her. Yeah. And people always ask me, you know, like, did you train it? And I said, no. What happened was this cat was very smart. And she just watched, I think it was Susan was my wife at the time. You never met Susan.
No, I did.
Did you meet Susan?
You always married smart dames. You always never brought somebody home that I was
okay. Well, she was smart. She was smart. Yeah. She did too many drugs, though, and now she's pretty much a vegetable. But anyway. Where was I going with this?
You were talking about she was married when you had that particular cat.
Yeah, yeah. And it turns out that this cat would stand there watching her pee.
Okay.
And figuring the whole thing out, drawing little diagrams with its paws.
Right. Taking little photographs.
And then you go here, and then you go here. And the cat learned to get on the toilet and take a pee. And people said to me, well, does she shit in the toilet? And I went, you can't ask for everything. You know, I mean, for crying out loud, isn't peeing enough? Aren't you amazed? You know,
right.
There was a musician, Thelonious Monk, I think was.
Thelonious Monk, piano player, right?
Yeah, but he wrote a book, How to Train Your Cat to Go to the Bathroom on the Toilet.
Thelonious Monk did?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was Thelonious Monk. Yeah, it was a big jazz artist like that. And he had this whole process that you teach the cat how to do that, you know. And I think you could also get it to crap in the toilet, too. And he had this whole process. Well, we didn't have that process. This cat just picked it up all on her own.
Yeah, you didn't have to go through the training, the Evelyn Wood training. Yeah.
We had, at one point, we had five cats. And when you have five cats, none of them want to crap in the same place.
Oh,
none
no.
None of them want to pee in the same place.
They're territorial about their porta potties.
I have my cat, Shabbos, who would do it in the bathtub. In the back of the bathtub, he would take a dump. And then he would go to the drain and take a pee. Okay.
Well, he had the porcelain concept, for the porcelain.
Yeah. And by the way, just to show you how fastidious cats are, when he would take a dump in the toilet in the back, in the shower, the bathtub in the back, he would then try to dig up the porcelain and bury it.
Yeah, bizarre.
But he would only do it for about three or four times, and you go, okay, I did what I had to do. Okay.
This isn't happening.
So
every time
before I'd take a bath, I had to go in, drain, clean out the bathtub, and clean out the turds that had accumulated there. And people said, well, that's terrible. And I said, no, it's not. At least I know where it is.
Yeah. You know? It's a contained environment and habitat.
Yeah, yeah. Meanwhile, all the other cats were going everywhere in the house. I had one that we had a thing where we put our laundry, big basket thing. She would pee in there.
In the laundry basket?
Yeah, at least we were going to...
I would have a problem.
Well, I hated that, but we couldn't get her to stop, so...
Because my grandparents are always fond of cats. They had a two-story house, and I swear, there was a cat menagerie upstairs of which they knew nothing.
What
because
do you mean?
They went crazy up there.
Okay.
I don't think the grandparents were... They never went up there, so it was just like a menagerie. It was rot.
What, do they have more kittens and things like that, and they just all lived up there?
Yeah, until one of us intervened and took them to the animal shelter.
Well, you know, the thing is that we the worst thing about our cat getting pregnant and having kittens was that you know, you had to get rid of those kittens. You had to give them away.
Yeah.
And then trying to find people to take them
was tricky.
Was tricky, you know. And we didn't want to take them down to a shelter or any place like that. But usually we got rid of most of them.
Yeah, because you know, they're so cute.
Well, also, half of them were black, half of them were Siamese, because there was a non-Siamese cat in the family who kept having sex with her. He kept liking her to have sex with her.
Ah.
And the fact was that when you have a Siamese and they mate with a non-Siamese,
yeah,
half the kittens are usually Siamese and the other half are black. If you see a black cat, he's probably part Siamese.
Wow, which is a pretty good breed, isn't it, as yeah. far as
oh, quality. Oh, I love Siamese. Want. They were my favorite cats.
Yeah.
You know, but I got to say, the one that peed that whole thing on the toilet, that was one of the black cats. Another black cat I had called Charlie was just the best cat I ever had. I mean, I would sit there watching television, okay? Here comes Charlie who wants to watch television with me, so he sits next to me and puts his paw around my neck. And it's kind of...
A little TV embrace.
Yeah.
It was nice.
Yeah.
It sounds like you have good luck with cats, yeah. And we had a dog when I was a child,
mm-hmm.
and I had these fry boots, and I meticulously would saddle soap them and wax them.
Well, fry boots were the big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
they
were
not expensive, but they were good.
Would scrape them all to pieces, and it drove me nuts. And then the worst part, though, was when I'd be coming home from a date, the dog had the habit of going through the trash and finding sanitary napkins that had been thrown out, like my mom's.
No.
Yes. And he would tote them all over the house. And so, I mean, you come home for a date, and there'd be, like, you know, a Kotex dangling from one of the stairs.
Oh, jeez.
It was awful.
Yeah, awful. Awful dog. Yeah, I had a dog. When we first moved to Marin County, we got a cat. His name is Sylvester. Well, was that original?
And, Warner Brothers.
And then we had another dog. We had a dog, and his name was Kipper.
I remember your dog, Kipper. I mean, I remember him.
Me talking about him. K-I-P-P-U-R, after Yom Kippur. We got him on Yom Kippur, and we named him Kipper. Everybody said, boy, that's terrible. You named it after the high holy day of the Jewish year, the highest of the holy days, you know. So, but anyway, we named him Kipper. And Kipper was just the dumbest dog you ever met, you know. I mean, so dumb, you could always do that trick with pretending to throw a stick and he'd go chase it. You know, that kind of stuff. Really dumb.
Great, the imaginary arc.
But he was a lovely, sweet dog. One day, we're walking, you know, in those days, we let our animals out. They just, you know, they went up into the woods and they hung out. And you knew they'd be home for dinner, you know, the cat and the dog. One day we're walking up and down the hill. We live on a hill in Marin County, and we're walking down, and all of a sudden we see a bunch of dogs lined up at a tree, right? And each one is going over to take a pee, you know, because they lift their leg against the tree. Why they do that, I have no idea.
You know. Well, maybe so it won't get on them.
I don't know.
So it
whatever.
Goes on the tree, not them.
And we notice the Kipper is lined up.
And when he's in the queue.
Now, mind you, this dog is, at this point, 4 or 5 years old, okay? He walks over to the tree and doesn't lift his leg. He squats down. We were so embarrassed for our dog. How can you embarrass us like this? You know?
That's right, with your ridiculous toilet habits.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know. How many pets have you had in your lifetime?
Oh, Blanca was the little cat. I got her when we were doing the show.
Uh-huh.
And her I liked. And then, I don't. That was the only one I had as an adult. And then
yeah.
I had a dog named Frisky when I was a child.
Frisky, there's another original name.
Yeah.
There, right. In fact, there was a cartoon dog what's his name? The big guy, who was it? The big animator for, you know,
Warner Bros. Fritz Lang?
No, I can't remember his name now. Nah, well, anyway, because my mind's going, that's why. I'll remember it when we're through here. When I don't have to be pressured, I can come right up with it. Anyway, he had a dog named Frisky, Frisky Pup. And the Frisky Pup was always in cartoons with, I think, Sylvester. And he was so frisky, he was annoying. And he would then go up behind Sylvester and go, wah, 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 wah. And Sylvester would go straight up in the air and be hanging from the ceiling, you know. That was Frisky. We had this cat, Sylvester, and then we had, Sylvester died, I think. No, yes. They didn't die. What happened sometimes is they would go into the woods and they never came back. Okay?
You know, that
But those are the days when you let your pets out, you know.
Yeah. Birds in Moran and in, you know, that environment, which is kind of wild in some places, they have birds that come down and grab them.
Well, we had a little back window, and the cat would jump up to that window and then come down, and you would hear him go clump on some piece of furniture, right? Clump. Yeah. So we go, oh, well, Sylvester's home.
Nice to see you.
And then he just disappeared. I don't know what happened to him. You know, he probably went to somebody else who was feeding him better. I don't know.
Exactly. You know. Caviar and Grey Poupon.
Yeah. I think I had a pet once where some people down the street came up to our house to visit and go, oh, that's the cat or the dog or whoever, so-and-so. And we go, how do you know our cat? Well, it's our cat. He said, what do you mean it's your cat? He said, well, she came down, started eating our place, and so we just, she's our cat.
And your cat was cheating on you.
I said, when she comes home to us. This is our cat. The cat had been literally eating at the behest of two different families. You know?
Now, that's a cush gig, if you can get it.
It's a very cush gig. But, you know, I don't know where I was going with that. But I just can't.
I like fish. Mm-hmm. Fish are the best pets. I've had several fish.
Fish you don't have with cats.
No, you don't.
Because I had a cat. This was Sylvester, it might have been Mao. There was another cat we got called Mao. It was a Siamese. No, Mao. Mao.
Oh, like Chairman.
Yeah, Mao. Chairman Mao. Yeah, because when we asked him what his name was, he went, Mao. So, you know, we just let him name himself.
Truncated Meow.
Anyway, so he, what was I going to say about him? Oh, now I forgot.
Well, you had the cat named Mao.
Yes. Let's get a fish. Okay, we'll get a fish. We got a bowl and everything. We filled it with the water, put the fish in the bowl. And then immediately, I think it was Sylvester, I think it was, ran up to the bowl and started looking down. And we're going, well, you know, he's not going to catch. There's nothing going to happen. Went back about a half hour later, there was no fish in the bowl.
No.
And no matter how many fish we put in that bowl, they didn't last more than 30 minutes.
Well, that's why you need the aquarium, you know, with the bubbles and a little top and the
whole
works.
I'm not going that whole thing. I just wanted the little thing, and the fish has it to himself, unless there's a paw that goes down and grabs him.
Well, I would love to have an aquarium, like a rather large one, you know, with tropical fish. But I would want someone else to set it up. I have no patience for that.
Yeah.
So, you know, someone would come and buy the fish. I could pick the fish. And then if they'd set it up, I would just sit in front of it and be calm forever.
Anyway, hey, listen, we're running out of time, but you didn't cough once during this whole thing. You're getting better, my dear.
I'm improving. Yeah.
You're improving. Great. I'm happy about that. Because every week or every 2 weeks, whenever I write you and say we're going to do the thing tomorrow, and then I don't hear from you, I wonder if you're okay. You know?
I'm just, my phone habits are just so lackadaisical.
Yeah. Well, you know, You probably remember that you have to do it, you know, but I...
I love it. It's what I look forward to.
Yeah. Anyway, that's Lori Thompson, ladies and gentlemen. She's a lovely, lovely person, and that's why we like talking to her. Talk to you later. Bye.
Later.
Now, in its 11th year, this is Gabnet. Talk like you've never heard it before.
And that's Lori, and I love talking to her about animals and everything. We just start talking, and it's like the old days with us, you know. Let me see. I'm trying to adjust my audio. Here we go. There we go. Hi. Hey, everybody. How are you? It's, let's see. It's Monday. It's Wednesday. Boy, I'm telling you, I can't remember things anymore. I've gotten to the point where I'm just screwing up like crazy on everything. Today I had to tell Lori I have to do her next Monday because I've got an appointment on Wednesday, and then it turns out that appointment has been changed to another day, and I didn't change it on my calendar. Stuff like that, you know? Stuff like that. I hate that when it happens. Well, look what I got today. My super has one of these, and I said, gee, that's an amazing, amazing little thing you got there. And it is a, let me see if I can turn it on, you see? That's a flashlight. But it's not only that. Let me do this. Let me see here. No, I got to turn this on now. Wait a minute. Hold on. I'm going to have my finger. I'm getting some stuff for my finger tomorrow because my finger's been bothering me. And there we go. Come on. Oh, there we go. Oh, come on. Turn it on. Okay. First, turn it on. And then I do that. See? I got that kind of light. But then I do that, and it's even more. And I do that, and you can't even really see me anymore. Okay? All right. Oh, and then it's got that. I don't know what that's for. It's in case you want to act like you're a cop or something. I don't know. I bet that's illegal to use, but I don't know. Anyway, it was great. $15 at Amazon. It's the best little flashlight I've seen, and it really is superb. Anyway, let me just bring some people in here and we can have a nice time talking to each other as I admit all of them. Here they are. There's Kevin, and there's Charlie, and there's Mark Thorner. Wow. Okay. And let's see here. Josh Wheeler. Okay, we got Mark. We got all the people. Okay, good. Hello, everyone. Oh, hey, here comes Alan. We have to admit him, too. All right, there we go. Hey, it's Wednesday. Anybody do anything exciting in the last couple of days at all?
Nah.
How about you, Mark? It's thrilling down there in Florida, isn't it?
Oh, I want to know, where does your friend Lori live? In Florida, down here,
she lives up in the Panhandle.
Okay, got it. So I'm like, where is she? Because it was not a good day down here. It was wet, steamy, typical this time of year.
Really? Well, I did her this morning, or 1 o'clock this afternoon our time.
Yeah,
I mean, okay, I didn't mean I did her. I talked to her.
I know what you mean, Alex. But it's so funny because I'm looking behind her and I'm thinking, that's not anywhere near here in South Florida.
Yeah, well, she didn't. It was like she didn't want to go. She really is happy where she is. I mean, the weather up there, I think, is pretty good.
It's very good, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know where in the Panhandle, but she's not in our time zone.
Oh boy, she's closer to Alabama, probably.
Alabama, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I can't imagine. See, I've got New York here, and I've got my time zone. And then I figured that all of Florida was in my time zone, but it's not. Part of it is, but not all of it is. And I never got that straight. So whenever I write her, I say, 1 o'clock my time.
So I want to know, who was the Warner Brothers animator that you were?
Well, that was, I'm trying to remember.
Wasn't Clampett, was it?
No, it wasn't Clampett. It was,
Chuck Jones.
Chuck Jones.
There you go.
Yeah, he came up with Frisky the Pup.
Yeah.
You know, who just drove Sylvester crazy, you know, straight up in the air, hangs onto the ceiling. I love those cartoons. I love that. I love the dog, you know. But anyway, so how are you? So you doing okay down there? Is the weather just really like crappy?
Oh, it's crappy. I'm not gonna. No, it's like you go. I went out and I was like 20 minutes. It's like I'm done.
We went out today to go get lunch or dinner. You know what I paid for it. It should be dinner. Anyway, up the street, and the weather was quite nice, you know. It was not hot or whatever, but now it's starting to get toasty. It's starting to get humid, even in here in this studio, and I've got the air conditioner on. It's getting humid, and I hate the humidity. I mean, you can give me the heat. I can live with the heat, you know. It's a good heat. It's a dry heat, but that's good, you know. But, you know, especially down in Florida and Texas. Oh, and I lived in Texas. Mm-hmm. I thought I would die, you know. the humidity is horrible, isn't it?
In Houston. Yeah.
When's the last time you were able to keep a crease in your pants, you know?
1974 or something.
That's right. It's terrible. It's terrible, but it hasn't been good up here either. The weather is really changing a lot everywhere, so, you know.
Yeah, the Bay Area has been windy.
Oh, no, thank you very much.
I knew you'd appreciate
I'm sure.
In the 70s, yeah.
I'm sure Alan appreciates you bragging about that.
I am Alan.
Yeah.
You meant Mark. It's okay.
Huh?
We looked a lot alike.
What do you mean, Alan? I said Alan.
You did?
Yeah.
You said, I bet Alan appreciates that.
Yeah.
Okay. I was the one that made the comment.
Oh, I see. Yes, I see what you're saying. Well, you know, I don't have my wits about me anymore, but unlike Trump, I'm willing to admit it, yeah. You know.
Yeah.
The weather was beautiful in Connecticut today, so.
There we go. It's good.
It was beautiful here, too. It was really nice here. It wasn't too humid. It just started getting humid. It's getting ready for tomorrow, and then they say we're going to have one of those feel-like days, and it's going to feel like it's 101.
Ugh. Nice.
You know, and I'm going, well, Marjorie, I guess I don't go for another walk for another week, you know? it's not fun. You know,
humidity can't be that bad, Mark. You just stay in the house with the air conditioner running.
Yeah, and then you get an electric bill. Huge. How's your electric bill down there, by the way?
Actually, not that bad, considering.
Like, what is it? Can I ask you? Give me an estimate.
Maybe 125.
Mm-hmm. Charlie, you're in Houston. You're in
Austin.
Austin, Texas. But that's
I have a small 500 square foot apartment, so my electric bill's only like $60.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You ready? How much mine gets this time of year?
I shudder to think.
Well, to begin with, we got a thing called Con Ed, and they are ripping the crap out of us off. They keep getting these raises all the time. It usually gets, now, last year it got upwards to $600 a month.
Oh.
Now,
more than my car bill.
Whoa. I know. Granted, I have a studio here, but, you know, I don't have equipment that you'd think it uses up a lot of electricity, but quite frankly, the computer I have here is low flow that way. The lights I have here are LEDs. You know, they don't eat up much electricity. But $600 a month, and because we turn on the air conditioner. Yes, Mark?
I don't know, Alex, if you were involved with Play at the time.
Play Incorporated. Yeah.
When they had a huge presence at the PC Expo in New York in the 90s. I think the Telecaster, they just came out with it.
The TriCaster?
whatever it was that,
well,
you know.
Well, there were two things. There was the Trinity, which was the original.
It was the Trinity.
Yeah.
And they had a huge presence. And I'll tell you, that was at the new Javits Center.
The Trinity, by the way, in case people don't know, I should tell them. It was a thing you have. I have a program here that does everything that used to do, and it's free. Okay? The Trinity was a box about yay big. And it had a bunch of cards that went in it, and we literally could run a TV. It was like having a TV studio in a box.
Yeah, okay. And there was Kiki, you know, doing her thing.
Yeah.
But what I remember was that was the summer of the rolling blackouts all through New Manhattan. And, like, there was electricity at the convention center. If you went outside and you walked a couple of blocks, no power. If I walked over to the east side, power. You know, walked up to where I was living on East 83rd Street, mm-hmm. no power.
Well, really. Yeah. Now, here's the other day I was watching the smartest guys in the room, the Enron story.
Oh, yeah.
Which I'd seen in years, and I figured it might be interesting to watch. And it brought up in California the rolling blackouts, which didn't need to happen, but Enron was causing it to happen so they could make money.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
Rolling blackouts, and I had explained rolling blackouts to Marjorie. I don't know. She lived in Philadelphia at the time or down in Washington or whatever. But rolling blackouts were they would take a certain amount of neighborhoods, and then for 3 hours there was no electricity. And then you go to another neighborhood and no electricity. And it was rolling blackouts. So not everybody was without electricity all the time. But, I mean, it was ridiculous. No, you never heard about rolling blackouts since then. You know. So you remember them in New York.
Con Ed, oh, please.
And what did they do? Did they do it by neighborhood or what?
To this day, I don't even know, but it was a really bad. That was a really bad summer that time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and you just never knew when it was going to hit.
You know what? You know how I like to describe New York during the summer, at least in the old days. Now it's changed a bit because the change in weather and so on and so forth because of the. What's happening? Somebody talking to you, Jeff?
Well, I was getting information as to what the price is around here.
No. Anyway. Yeah. What was I going to say? Now I forgot what I was going to say.
I was there with the rolling blackouts.
Yeah, rolling blackouts and
Enron.
Enron. Yeah. Yeah. And it was. I mean, it was terrible what they did. And they caused the rolling blackouts, at least in California, because they did that to make themselves money. And it was just pretty terrible all around during that time.
They got paid back.
Hmm?
They got paid back.
What happened? Something happened to them. I mean, I wasn't there when a lot of this.
So it was George W. Bush. Yeah. We had rolling blackouts, like you said, in California.
George W.
Bush was president,
mm-hmm.
and it was a split Congress. And a guy named Jeffries or Jeffers changed from being a Republican to being a middle-of-the-road guy, or whatever you call that.
Independent.
And that changed how the Republicans could vote. Mm-hmm. And 2 days later, the rolling blackouts with Enron stopped.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, yep. I mean, all of a sudden, I mean, I remember way back when we had gas problems, and they had gas wasn't available, you know. And what they did was they suddenly in New York went to a thing where, you know, it was very, very hard to get gas anywhere. And if you did, you were lined up a mile long and you had to wait all day to fill up your tank. And then somebody said, why don't we do this? Why don't we say we will every other day you can get gas? It will just go by license plates, and if you have an odd number, it's this day, and if it's an even number, it's this day. And as soon as they did that, there was no more gas problems. It just disappeared.
The people that were lucky were the people that had commercial license plates.
Why?
Because on a commercial license plate can get gas on any day.
Really?
Or if your dad owned a gas station.
That was like 1973, 74, something like that.
Yeah, that was the whole OPEC fuel crisis.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or if your dad owned a gas station.
Oh, there you go.
I never sat in a line.
Yeah, I bet you didn't.
And I made a lot of free beer.
Wow. Yeah. So anyway, you know, I mean, it was weird. It was a time when there were all kinds of things like that. I mean, we have problems, we think we have problems now. We had problems then, you know. Yeah. Okay. And but there we had corporations to blame. You know, it was corporations getting extra greedy.
The only place it gets really humid sometimes during the summer is Southern California.
Yeah. I know what I was going to say. People used to ask me, well, how hot does it get in New York City? And I said, have you heard that song Summer in the City by the Loving Spoonful? Listen to the first couple of notes of that song, and that's how it feels. I think, am I right, Mark? Yeah. I mean, just it was amazing. It just absolutely, every time I heard that song, even when I was in California, it used to feel like that. Da-dump, you know. Anyway.
Last time I was in New York, which was 1999, I ended up in a hotel room that had an air conditioner that was made for a bathroom, through the window. As a matter of fact, I got pissed at it. And I kicked it, and it went out the window and dropped three stories onto the concrete out the window.
Did they charge you for it?
No, I just said I went to turn the knob on, and it fell out the window. And the guy said, oh, okay, no problem. We'll come up there and bring you another one. They brought me a good one, but it was humid. This is in October in New York.
Yeah, you know, it can be. Get
all my friends said, you want a nice weather? Come in October. Oh, yeah.
Let me ask Josh, is it humid where you are? Do you get humidity?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because I mentioned the other day about air conditioners, the thing that bothers me about them is they go on and off, if you have them on automatic, which I do to save money, but they're on all the time because the weather never gets that low. Anyway, the thing is that they're based on the heat, but they're not based on the humidity. So they don't cut off when the place is really humid, or they don't turn on. Excuse me, when it's not humid, they turn on. Don't turn on when it's really humid. It doesn't. It's not affected by humid. It's affected by the heat. And
that's
sure,
right.
They should have it be affected by both. Because, last night we had the air conditioner turned off here, and we had the window open, and we just let the air in. It was 69 degrees, and I finally had to close the window and turn on the air conditioner because the humidity was killing us.
Air conditioners are great at removing humidity, too.
If they're running,
if they're running.
But they don't detect humidity.
That's right. You're right.
That's
they're
the
temperature-driven device.
Exactly.
And I thought my power bill was expensive. This year, a couple months ago, it was $400 for 1 month. And I thought that was expensive. And listening to $600, your Alex, I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah, but, anybody who lives in New York knows what I'm talking about. It just, you can't get away from it here. Luckily, during the winter, my heating is done by radiators. Or as Marjorie calls them, radiators.
Radiators.
And I said to Marjorie, I said, heat doesn't radiate, it radiates, right? And she goes, yeah. I said, that's why they're called radiators. We've been fighting this for years. That and Shapiro, which is another fight we have. Do you know about that in Philadelphia, Josh? Or Mark, rather? That they they will call somebody named Shapiro, Shapiro.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was an ice cream store here called something in Shapiro's, very famous here in New York. She says, oh, so-and-so in Shapiro's, right? I mean, no, Shapiro's. And then, so we go into the restaurant, we go into the ice cream store, rather, and we're sitting there, and I said to the waitress, I said, now, just for the record, how do you pronounce the last name here? And she said, Shapiro. I looked at the barge and went, see? She still says, she's wrong. That was what she said. Anyway. Whatever. So, anybody doing, number did anything over the weekend that was interesting, I guess. God, are we a boring bunch or what?
Pretty much.
Let's not, we can start talking about removing prostates again.
No. Yeah. Well, we could. How's your prostate, Alan?
Good. My A1C is 0.05.
Wait a minute, your A1C?
Not my A1C.
PSA.
PSA, yeah.
What is A1C? That's like...
That's
your
blood sugar.
Blood sugar.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm getting old and forgetful. I can't remember my medical terms.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't really care anymore. I just figure I'm losing it, and that's it. You know. But I'm not as bad as our president is getting. He's getting terrible lately.
Today
he said that he was going to lower drug pipe prices. Are you ready?
1,000%.
And it's amazing, by 1,000%.
Oh, mathematically impossible.
Well, no, it is mathematically possible if that means that the drug company is going to pay you money.
Yes.
Right. Well, I guess that's true. If you lower it 100%, then the drugs become free, Donald.
Yeah. Well, anyway, he did that, and he's been on this whole thing with Obama, that Obama has committed treason, and he's going to, you know... He's going to do something about that. He's going to charge him with treason.
Another distraction.
Another distraction. You're absolutely right. And
Why is he going after Obama?
Oh, because he helped fix the election. The Trump won.
Yeah, in 2016.
Yeah, really. Well, he wasn't very loyal to people that helped him win. James Comey, the head of the FBI, and his little announcement a couple days before on Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
You know, that guy was gone.
He mispronounced another word the other day. I'm trying to remember the word he mispronounced, but it was just...
Melania.
No, it was just... No. It was just
sedacious,
horrible.
I think.
Sedacious. He said that Obama was sedacious. And the black guy on the Daily Show said, I had a friend named Sedacious once. but it's just amazing. Just amazing. And I think he's worse gone than what's his name was.
Than Biden. Yeah.
Than Biden. Oh, look who's having salad tonight. What kind of salad? Did you buy that to go?
Leftovers.
Leftovers? Did you send out for that salad?
No, it was cooked.
It was cooked.
A cooked salad. Wow.
Did you?
No, because it's vegetables and shrimp and some rice.
Did you cook it yourself?
Nope.
Who cooked it?
Only yes or no questions, please.
Only yes or no questions. Okay, was it a female?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Was it a female that you're currently seeing?
No, I'm seeing you guys.
Oh, jeez almighty.
Is this guy, are you sure he's really Brian and not Tony?
AI, I'm AI.
Yeah, he's AI. Oh, speaking of AI, this is fun here for a second.
Yeah, I just listened to Monday's show on the way home.
Yeah, I did this on the Monday show. Listen to our new announcer. Okay, this is our new imager and our new announcer.
Now in its 11th year, this is GabNet. Talk like you've never heard it before.
What happened to Steve Fox?
He's been replaced by this guy.
Now in its 11th year, this is GabNet. Talk like you've never heard it before.
Well, of course, you all know I'm playing you an AI-generated voice.
Ah. I mean, one of these days they'll get that down pat.
No, well, actually, they got it pretty good here.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy has a nice inflection, you know. It's very good. So, I mean, I have a lot of spots that I record here. And I was thinking of I could take, for instance, what's his name's voice? The guy that used to do our spots.
Rob Alfano.
And yeah. I can just take him saying a couple of things like just one of those imagers, pipe that into the program, and then have it make his voice. Mm-hmm. And it's really amazing.
Why don't you have, like, hi, this is Charlie Wallace. Meet us on the Ramble, you know?
Well, because I wouldn't want to clone his voice.
No, have him do it.
You know, I mean, I can have him do it, yeah. But no, but
Tony to do it.
Tony can do one. Jeff can do one. Josh,
I have no no desire to replace Steve Fox in doing the stuff.
You know, Steve has the right voice pattern, and I think it would be hard to duplicate his voice.
Well, no, we wouldn't want to duplicate his voice, but his voice is very good. So is so is Rob Alfano's voice. Absolutely. Was terrific, and Albert Reynoso's voice is fine. You know, but I could take any of those voices, clone it, write a script, and then have that voice read the script.
But they do that now. I have software, you know, from my old job that you can do dictation, so it'll write down what you're saying, and then you can have it read back to you, or there's a long email, some blabbing, so I just have them read it, and it just reads it, so you can still do it like that.
Yeah, but this is pretty much, this is some professional programs, too, you know, that are... you know, I'm trying to find the one that I really like. That company was okay, but some of them say, oh, you can get 100, what, I could get 30 minutes or something a month out of it. They don't like to give you a lot, you know,
for free.
I heard a little bit of Southern addition to the voice.
Yeah,
it's like you played that for us on Saturday night, and I swore I heard that voice before somewhere. I just don't know where.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. He's saying GabNet, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's based on somebody else's voice that they pay money to at this company to use their voice, but then it takes their voice and applies it to any text that I put in there.
The words, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I can take a one-minute spot and have them, you know, go ahead and read it.
We're the number one leader in AI in the world, everywhere, anywhere.
You can do your monologue.
Our number one.
Lori and the show and us, you could just have a picture of you and have AI talk for you.
Yeah, but it won't do me physically. There are programs where I can do video, but I don't want to waste a lot of money doing that. It's very expensive, you know.
I mean, we've got a president like that right now.
Huh?
You can't tell if he's AI or not.
yes, Mark.
Well, I've been playing around with this for a while now.
Uh-huh.
No, and I agree with you. It's like, no, I don't want to pay money and use the cloud. So I've been figuring out ways to run it locally on our own computers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's good news and bad news.
Okay, good news first. But bad news first.
Well, the best stuff that's out there, you need NVIDIA, which means you need to get a Windows-based system.
Mm-hmm.
The good news is, though, that there's stuff on the Mac that you can do locally, so it's catching up. And let me tell you something. It's a bit of a learning curve, but you could probably do all this on your own Mac without having to rely. I mean, it's not going to be like, oh, my God, this is going to be so easy. I discovered, oh, yeah, the learning curve is very interesting. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when you want to start making videos and then you want to have sync sound. But it's there. It's like, oh my God. And the thing that gets me is the comedy potential for it.
In what respect?
I'm watching this one YouTube channel. It's all generated videos and it's hysterically funny. And I'm thinking,
well, what are they doing that's funny though? You know,
I'll send you the link, okay? But it's one thing is talking news heads, saying a lot of nothing very quickly, but it's funny.
Yeah, but somebody has created that and has put the words in their mouth, and so on. Because I don't think I was talking with somebody the other day, and we said we didn't think that AI could have a sense of humor. You know, it's going to take a lot of, and even if you had a lot of programming and it kind of got somewhat a little good, you know. I don't think AI has a sense of humor. I think AI will, if you write something funny, it will say it. But it also doesn't know timing.
Let me send you this.
Okay, send me a link. Send me a link.
Doesn't AI use a lot of power, a lot of computing power?
I'll tell you, it would help if you have like a really strong processor.
I do here. You know.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Like on the Windows side. They say like a Ryzen 7, you know, AMD, you know, and if you have to go Intel, get like the top of the line Intel processor. But it comes down to the GPU, NVIDIA. That's GPU.
And video processor, yeah.
But it's amazing what I'm
processing
seeing.
But
when I'm seeing what people are doing, I'm thinking, oh my God, the storytelling potential with this is, you know, I'm thinking, wow, what you could do with this. And of course, people are going to abuse it. And of course, the other thing is, well, then there's the porn angle. You know, it's like, what direction in the media does porn go to? That's why we have VHS over beta. Okay. So our DVDs were successful. So you have to look where the schmutz is going.
Well, I mean, I imagine they could make porn. You know, they could do porn.
I think it's probably been done.
I'm sure it's been done.
It had, but you see, the problem is then you get to the whole deep fake thing, and that's where you get into a what the, you know, like, okay, people have either way too much time on their hands, you know, it's like, this is stuff you don't really want to see, but it's there. You know, it's out there now.
Mm-hmm.
The Pandora's box is literally open.
You can get a picture of Trump, you know, having sex with a 13-year-old girl.
Why does it always come back to Trump?
I didn't bring him up first. I waited on purpose and let you bring him up.
No, I brought him up, but in the context of what was really going on, I didn't suddenly try to associate him with porn videos.
Well, I'm talking about the Epstein thing, so, you know.
We weren't talking about the Epstein
thing. I know.
Thing.
Well, I know. I just said you could do that.
Okay.
Okay. I'm done with that. We can go back, Mark, talk to us again.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll interrupt it at some point, so his line of thought will be screwed up. Let's find out from Josh. Josh, you watching any TV, watching any of the news, or are you still boycotting it?
Well, I don't boycott it. I'm just doing other stuff.
Yeah.
You know, maybe a tiny bit or something. I've just been rolling various shows, watching while I'm working on stuff. My second article in the Journal of the American Revolution published yesterday.
Good. I started to read the first one, but it's a little heady for me.
It's really
smart stuff. Okay,
you went very specific to certain. You know, it's not a broad narrative or anything. It's, you know, it's very specific to a particular event. So, if you don't know anything at all about the event, it might definitely be hard. And if you don't know anything about the macro event that took place, mm-hmm. you know, it would be maybe confusing, you know. Plus, it's really long. That's, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think that's as much the problem as just the length, you know. People who are not interested would probably lose interest because, you know, it's 10,000 words or whatever. So, I mean, that's quite a lot, you know. But so I'm working, you
well,
know.
The first one you did got into the minutia of a subject I knew nothing about.
Right.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah, you know. Right. But it's an academic journal, you know. That's what they're.
But
for.
I looked at it and I read some of it, and I was very proud of you, you know.
But it's an academic journal. It's, you know, it's not much different than.
I assume you don't get paid. I assume you don't get paid for this, right?
I do not get paid for these. No.
The answer, I think, there was no. You know. Yeah.
No, well, but okay.
It's okay.
You know, but. I don't directly get paid for them, but they're a lot of exposure. You know, the first one was pretty popular from what I was told, you know, and the second one published today. But the journal is published by, you know, obviously by a company, you know, and that company, owns an academic press and a few other things, and the mm-hmm. people make decisions on, you know, who gets a book published and who doesn't, et cetera. Several of those people are, you know, they are the people that run the journal and things like that. So what it does is it gets you in good contact with, you know, people who have the ability to, you know, help your career out in other ways.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's the thing. I mean, I think there are
things like that.
So yeah. There are a couple people, you know, there that are aware that, you know, I'm working on a larger work, you know, in book form that covers
mm-hmm.
That entire year that the two articles have a subject matter in. And that's that period, you know, after the Yorktown surrender. You know, I'm kind of an expert in that subject area. So they are aware of that work. They like everything that I've written so far, you know, and they have expressed openness to, you know, publication and things like that. Things that do pay me money. So.
Right.
You know, when, you know, so I, and then it's already helped some with some initial stuff about, you know, academic work and, you know, teaching on the side, you know, publication is a big deal in that world.
What it does is it gets you in good contact with,
hold on a second,
you know, people who have the ability to, you know, help your career out in other ways.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just stop that. Okay. All right. I'm sorry. Continue with where you were.
That was about it. So, I mean, you know, I have enough to do that, sitting around and listening to Trump is not really at the top of my list.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't watch this press conference or whatever today where they laid out the big case about apparently how Barack Obama, you know, was a traitor. So, you know, I missed all the details on that. I had the C-SPAN webpage open and it refreshed one time, you know, and I had the stuff that I was writing minimized or something. And that came up and I was like, all right, whatever, you know. And then I flipped the television from the streaming service that I was on mm-hmm. back to DirecTV, before we were getting ready to come on here just to have something on the TV, and it was on CNN. And, you know, they're on there talking about things. And, you know, I got about 15 seconds of that dickhead Scott Jennings on there running his mouth. And I'm just like, you know, I don't need to listen to this crap, you know?
Yeah, Marjorie watches, I said this, she watches MSNBC all the time. I go in and she got nothing to watch. She's watching, MSNBC is on the tube and she's using, Instagram? She goes and starts, she's thumbing through Instagram while she's watching MSNBC. I think that kind of gets to the point where you have to say, I think I have no life. You know?
She's multitasking.
Well, it's not multitasking. I just tell her, you know, I said, this stuff's going to rot your brain, you know? And all these news outfits are going to rot your brain. None of them seem to really be doing a terrific job. There's one I do like. I kind of like CBS Now, which pretty much just gives you the news and that's it, you know, if you want it. I'm so tired of, to begin with, the news doesn't change that much in a given hour. So the next hour, they do exactly the same discussions. And they talk about the same stuff. And it's just, you know, it goes nowhere. You know, so.
Yeah, it's, I mean, Scott Jennings' job on CNN seems to be to just sit around and make faces and smirk while other people talk. Mm-hmm. And then when they're done talking, his job seems to transform itself into making, you know, snarky little comments and to act like an arrogant jerk and not really add anything, you know, to the conversation. Not that any of the other people they have on there have much to add to the conversation, but, you know, that seems to be his job. So, you know, why would I give up my free time for that?
Yeah, but you know, as I say, the news doesn't change from hour to hour, and so the newscast this hour is going to be almost the same as the newscast last hour. And the news does change, but it changes in small little inches. You know, it doesn't just move really fast. You know, I mean, they really jizz over a story when one comes out that they can really talk about. You know, that just happened. And they go crazy. That's why Trump gets mileage out of going after Obama.
But they still do breaking news every 5 minutes.
Yeah. No, breaking news is a term that has no meaning. Whenever I see breaking news coming on that one of those networks, I go, sorry, that's breaking news. You know,
breaking news is like somebody, you know, gets shot or something like that. And it's breaking news, blah, 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 blah.
Well, the name of the show was Breaking News, but they do it at the top of the hour. They have this rollover that goes Breaking News. And then she comes back and tells the story she told last hour.
Yeah. You know. Local news is worse because local news, they repeat it like every 2 hours, the exact same stories.
Well, local news.
I used to watch it at like 11 o'clock, and they would show the exact same story the next morning and over.
I don't know what you're talking about, but there are the cable systems that have their news channel that they own and create and so on and so forth. But they don't basically, the local news channels, the only news that's really done is their 5 o'clock news and then the national news. And that's it, you know. They don't have to put, you know, it's all, the only good thing I like about the national news is it's just a kind of wrap-up of everything that's gone on that day. And that's all you really need, you know. But do you watch any of these things to get your news, Mark?
Not for over 30 years now, Alex.
That long? Wow.
I know, well, when you work in the broadcast, even in the graphics end, you just know certain things. And it's like, no. And, you know, I was fortunate enough in high school, I had high school friends whose parents worked at either NBC or CBS.
Mm-hmm.
And what made news good back then, it ain't there. It really isn't.
Well, I'll tell you when it really started dying, and it's a lot longer ago than you remember. Do you remember Eyewitness News?
Eyewitness News, yes.
Yes.
Eyewitness News.
That format is where the local news fell apart. You know, in San Francisco, they were or was it here? I can't remember. I think it was in San Francisco. They had a story of somebody who had somehow got his penis cut off by a train.
Oh, God.
A train?
Oh, man, that sounds like you got to redo that. Oh,
and the camera zoomed in on the severed penis. That was local news, ladies and gentlemen. Eyewitness News, Channel 7, I think, in San Francisco.
I think you're right. I think Channel 7.
You know the story? Yeah.
I don't know the penis.
Channel 5 was always Eyewitness.
Yeah. On
CBS, Channel 5, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Eyewitness News.
That was just the, yeah.
In every market.
It was either a term, but they used it. Yeah.
In every market, there was an Eyewitness News.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good term, good name somebody came up with, and they used it everywhere, you know. But mostly the ABC stations are the ones that had the Eyewitness News, but boy.
I don't know if you were joking about the penis and train thing, but. If you're
would
that
I
close
joke
to
about
a train,
penis and train?
Yeah, if you're that close to a train, you got more to worry about than just your penis losing that.
Yeah.
Like your life.
I'm trying to remember how it happened exactly. I don't know. I don't remember.
It sounds like a good story.
It is. No, it's a great. It's a true story.
I'll Google it after the show.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know... I kind of like the CBS Evening News a lot. That's I'm very great. Mad at CBS now. There's oh, yeah. even more stuff. You know, they're doing more acquiescing. Today they announced that they were going to have an in-house ombudsman to watch and see and make sure they're fair in their news reporting. And they are going to institute DEI. They really want $9 billion from Skydance, don't they? You know, I mean, it just gets very disappointing every day that this organization, the Tiffany Network, okay, the Tiffany Network, is acquiescing so badly to Donald Trump in what is a real play to get cash.
But if Trump was against DEI.
They're going to do away with DEI.
Oh, do away, okay.
Do away with the DEI, yeah, yeah. You know, but it's terrible that they have to, you know, that they give in to this kind of thing. So I feel guilty anytime I watch CBS, you know. At least the other networks haven't so far kind of paid homage to them. NBC, Comcast hasn't done anything in that respect. And ABC, which is owned by Disney, Disney kind of holds the line against Donald Trump. You know, they don't exactly like what he's done. And you know, and then there's another thing that's happening with the news, and this is going to be an interesting thing to see. Disney Plus is going to run a newscast every night, done by ABC, which is going to be a internet only newscast. And I wonder how that's going to be affected by it. You know, whether they're going to pull punches or be safe. It's going to be interesting to see. You know, it's really going to be interesting to see. But anyway, what else is happening in the news? Nothing much, you know.
Yeah.
It's the news has been about as boring as we are here tonight. So, you know. So. How you doing up there, Kevin? What's happening with your buying of a house in Oregon?
Nothing.
Most people want to move to Ireland or to Portugal or something like that, but you only want to move to Oregon.
Yep.
You say you've been wanting to do this for years, right?
Yeah.
And you've never managed it.
No, because I was working, had kids and all that good stuff.
Yeah, amazing how that can get in the way, right?
Yeah, damn work.
All the kids are out of the house now, right? You're empty nesters.
Pretty much, yeah. She came back for a week and went back up there.
Well, I mean, just because she comes back to stay with you for a couple of days doesn't mean... She's living with you. I mean, you know, she's got her own life. You said she had a boyfriend. Is that still happening? Or
yep.
Wow.
Yep.
That's
they're shacking up. Shacking up next month.
Oh, boy. They're going to move in together.
Did yeah. they come down to get your approval?
Yeah, yeah. right. They called me for money.
That's something you don't need to get Dad's approval on. You know, be very nice if the guy wanted to marry her and he went to Kevin and said,
"Oh, don't go there yet, please."
But if he went to him to ask permission, that I think is something you do. But
he'd probably do that.
Hey, I want to shack up with your daughter. I don't think that has to get his okay.
I got a formal request to see if it was okay if they got married.
Really?
Yeah,
that's old-fashioned.
You know him?
Maybe 10 years ago, but
yeah.
Wow.
Well, they would have gotten married without you, but it was nice that they asked.
It was really the guy who asked me.
Really?
He said, "I want to marry your daughter." Right?
Yes.
Did he ask you before he proposed to her?
Well, I think that's appropriate. Yeah.
Yeah. Really? Oh, okay. Yeah. That's cool.
It seems like it's worked out great for them.
He wrote you a check for $50,000 and you said yes.
Charlie, you had daughters, right?
Yeah, I got two of them.
Yeah, and did how many are married? Both of them or?
Just the one.
Just the one is married.
Yeah, and he came to me as first. She was actually married before, and he never came to ask me anything. They just got married.
Yeah, but did the second guy come to you?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Well, that's nice, you know? That's okay.
I don't think it's nice. I don't own my daughter.
Well, but
she makes her own decision.
No, but it's not that they have to. It's that they feel they want to. You know? There's nothing wrong with that. What are you throwing your cat off the table for?
Oh, God, he came back up.
Yeah, no problem showing the cat eating their kibble. Oh, that's great. Oh, and the
that
tail and
the
face. Yeah, yeah.
I see this as a smart cat because the construction guys were here. Construction guys were here, and they closed his... I have his food in the closet up in the office, and they did some work in there today. They put some plug in there, and then they closed the closet, so he couldn't get into his food. So he kept like meowing at me, and I said, "What?" And then I just followed him right up to his room, and I saw that he had his food and his water blocked off.
Really?
Yeah,
that's a smart cat. We were talking today with Lori about animals and about about. Like, I kept saying to her that I just never been a dog person. I mean, I don't mind dogs, and if Marjorie wanted to have a dog, I'd love the dog and pet him and do all those things. I'm not going to walk him. She's going to have to do that, but, you know. But cats, I think, are just, you know, they're the perfect pet, you know.
The only thing I don't like is the hair.
Okay, that's but you can.
But he cannot go in my bedroom and not my closet for sure because he goes up there and he goes right into my clothes and he just hair everywhere and it's hard to wash.
Don't you groom the cat?
Yeah, but still,
yeah.
So I got hair is stuck. Cat hair is stuck to your clothes by static electricity, right?
Yeah. And so I got him one of those round round litter boxes. Now he goes in there, and then the thing after he's done it rotates, and then the poo drops into this little basket thingy.
Oh,
all automatic.
And what do you do? Give it to your next door neighbor or something?
Yeah, throw it over the fence.
Yeah.
Well, a friend of mine developed a thing that puts moisture in your closet, so it isn't dry air, and the dry air it attracts. Static electricity or make static electricity more available. And so there's like, he's got like 75% moisture in the closet and the cat walks all over his clothes and the hair doesn't stick.
Yeah. Well, you can also do, if you do a lot of grooming of the cat, you can get most of that fur, loose fur out of there. I had a cat. I remember once, I don't know. We left the cat in a kennel because we had to go on vacation. We came back to get the cat. The cat was so happy to see me. By the time I got home, I looked like I was another cat. There was so much fur on me. You know, but
nice.
Do you have a pet, Josh? I never asked you that. Do you have a pet?
Yeah, we have the two cats.
You have two cats. Okay. So, you know. I don't have any cats because my reason for not having an animal is if I got a cat, just the fear of the cat sitting there looking at me going, you know, long after you're gone, I'm still going to be here. And then I want to look back at the cat and go, who the hell's going to feed you, pal? You know. But somebody suggested, see, I thought I didn't want to get a young cat because, you know, who knows what's going to happen to me. I mean, even if I live to be 100, I may not be able to take care of a cat. And somebody suggested, go on and get an older cat. Go get a 10-year-old, 11-year-old cat, you know. And I think it was my former producer, Albert Reynoso, who said to me, look at this. And he showed me his most recent cat. He said, this is an old cat. We got a 12-year-old cat, and it's been wonderful, you know, been just a wonderful animal. So we thought about that, but then we go, well, we want to take trips. We want to go places. Who's going to feed the cat when we're gone?
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to hire a cat sitter.
Put the cat in the kennel.
No, that's too expensive, you know.
With all your money, you care about that? Come on.
Well, if I know my next-door neighbors, my neighbors on this floor, and I probably could get one of them to come in and feed the cat, but that's not company for the cat, you know.
Well, you want the cat to have company, leave one of the windows open.
No, if I want to leave company for the cat, I would get a second cat. And yes. Then they're pals with each other, and right. They don't even really need you at all.
But I think you got to do that when they're young.
Yeah.
Like when we got this cat at the place, they had cats like paired up if you wanted to, and I should have done that because I can't bring anything around this cat. This cat freaks out.
Yeah. Did you get that cat, Bran, as a young kitten?
Yeah.
Yeah. So how old is the cat now?
Like four.
Four? Oh, okay. You got it for Adrian, right?
Well, all three kids. Yeah. All three kids, yeah. And then I'm stuck with them.
Yeah.
Well, but Adrian loves to come over and see him, yeah.
Well, so. What do you do when you go away? Who feeds the cat?
I have had friends, or I've dropped them off at the kid's house.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Well, I don't have any friends, and I don't have any kids. So, you know, it's a problem. What the hell? Let me start the theme here. God, it's good to see you, Mark. You know, you've done it a couple of times lately, and I really appreciate it because you're fun to talk to. You're smart, and you know, you've been around here a long time.
And we're boring.
Yeah. what'd you say?
We're boring.
Yeah, the rest of you are boring. I just want Mark. I'm just being nice to Mark because I want him to call more. Kevin, thank you so much for being here. Wonderful. Charlie, you're always at your girlfriend's house now.
Hey.
Have you asked her father permission to shack up?
That would be difficult.
Mark, thank you so much. As I said, Josh, as always, it's great. Alan, wonderful to have you here. Jeff, it wouldn't be a show without you. And also Brian Neary, incredible. Hey, every one of you, give a big wave goodbye. I'll give a big wave goodbye at you, okay? There they go, folks. That's our citizen panel for tonight. Yeah, there they go. Let me see here. Let me just hang up on them unceremoniously. Goodbye. We'll be back again. Well, actually, right after this is Amy Manuel. She's going to be doing the intersection, and you can call her on Zoom. And if you want to have a way to get to her, you simply go to gabnet.net, then you go down to the third column at the very bottom. It says Alex Bennett. It says Amy Manuel. You click on Amy Manuel, and that'll take you to her, and you can start talking. We'll see you again tomorrow night, same time, same station in life. In the meantime, as always, if you see her, of course, tell her I love her, okay? Bye-bye, everybody.